Moral Revolution community, welcome back to our podcast. I'm so glad you joined us today. Let's talk about it.
Hey, let's talk about it. We are excited for today's conversation because it's some of our best friends at the table. We had to tell ourselves it's time to start recording because we have a lot of information to share with you. So the whole idea of the conversation today is all about when opposites attract with Aaron and Jenna Zint. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Yeah, we're pretty different.
Yes.
How long have you been married?
We're at 14 years and a couple months, and we got three kids. And when we met, I was 19 and she was 22.
I had graduated from college and he was 19 and I was like,
he's 3 years older than
him. Can't do that. Yeah. And he was a teenager. I had my bachelor's and I was like, oh no, that's bad.
Yeah. And I still got her.
Yeah. So. To be fair, I asked him out, but he still said yes.
And it was.
This all makes sense to me, actually.
I know, nothing is surprising. It all makes sense. Yeah. My buddy at the time had asked me, or a couple of years into marriage, asked me, like, what's the riskiest thing you've ever done? Because he was discovering that I'm fairly risk averse. And I was like, saying yes to Jenna. Yeah.
But I think it used to be a risky adventure.
It's still that same answer.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I know the question that any single woman is watching wants to know. How did you ask him out?
Oh, to be fair, we'd been hanging out for a while. His mom had actually asked me to throw him a birthday party because she didn't know we weren't that good of friends. And I was like, okay, I'll do that for this mom.
Hold on, so she didn't know you were or you
weren't? We're not good friends.
You were not good friends at that point.
We were acquaintances,
really.
Yeah. But she was like, for a mom's, like, he had a crappy birthday last year. And I was like,
She knew that Jenna had these skills from the little interaction we had. She thought, oh, they're good enough friends. She can do this for him.
So then I threw the birthday party, which was like a month of overlap of hanging out. And then afterwards, he's like, hey, I'd like to take you to breakfast. And he, like, gets out his journal, reads me all these pages of how I'm awesome. And then he was like, that's why I'm excited to be your friend.
Wait a second.
And I literally was like, because I was like, this is building to this epic story.
Yeah,
and
then
I was like,
So
I was like twitching on the inside. I was like, okay, cool. But then I didn't hear the narrative because I'm just intense and strong. So, like, I came from the South and it was like, if you have to, like, be too strong, then it's not meant to be. So, like, you're taking over, you're not supposed to be
strong. If the guy doesn't initiate and do all the things that normally is socially acceptable, then it's not right.
Hold on, we just brushed over, so I gotta know, were you, like, in your head, were you really just, like, setting up friendship? Or were you like, I do actually like her, but I don't?
Yeah. I knew that I wanted to tell her all these great things about her because I was working on being more, like, expressive with my affirmation.
So it was really just a friend set.
It was, because then I paused and I was like, are you okay with more than friendship?
Yeah, like, would you be open to that?
With you?
Yeah. I said that to him. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he paused. And he was like,
she says it was like 2 minutes of pause. It was probably 10 seconds.
He was truly contemplation of like, would I?
No, and that's not what happened. So, no, I was literally going like, oh, I had no idea she felt that way. So this is part of the differences between us is that, like, very risk averse and like stability and like just stable. It's kind of my inner core. And for her, it's adventurous and fun loving and exploring and new things. And so,
and new things is the bane of your existence.
Yeah. I hate new things. No, it's kind of like to decide to move to the house that we moved to now. It took Jenna tricking me into seeing houses just for fun. Oh, it's just fun. We have a realtor friend. Let's just go look at houses for fun.
It was actually genius because it was his best friend. Yeah. It wasn't trying to trick him. Actually, I should be clear.
That's one thing.
In the, like, in us being so different, like, it would be easy to feel manipulative, like, really feeling like, oh, I actually appreciate and value the strength he does bring, so not trying to make him like me, you know? So, but he did have a best friend who was a realtor, and we did look at price, like, houses that were way out of our price range.
That was what
hooked me. And then his friend added on one that was in our price range. And then I was like, oh, so I didn't set that up, but then he was like, it was hard for him.
We realized is the longer I'm in a place and the more familiar it is for me, the more I like it. The newer something is, the higher my anxiety is. And so for Jenna, it's just the opposite. The newer it is, the more she's excited about it, the more comfortable she feels with it. And the longer she's in a place, the more anxiety she gets that she's being trapped or having to being stuck in a place.
Wasting time or, yeah.
She like, says stuck.
It's a really good thing you and I did not get married.
I can't
our children would be so dysfunctional.
She told me about your ideas and I'm like, yes! And then she's like, and then I said no. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, wisdom.
Wisdom.
Oh, man.
But actually, that
your
was
new
like
house is so great, though.
Oh, it is fantastic.
It wasn't, though. I see the potential.
Well, I know you guys have to do work to it, but I'm just saying, like, I love your house.
And this is part of the differences as well, is that she can see and envision things that aren't there, and I'm really good at seeing what is, and if it's not great now, it's very difficult to get me across that line.
To believe
line.
It'll be great later.
And he helps me anchor, like, hey, like, you say we can do just do this, this, and this.
Right.
That's $30,000. 4 months of work. And I'm like, okay.
Like when we moved into our house and we said, we'll paint the entire house this weekend, and then next week we'll da-da-da-da-da, and a month later of painting. Yeah. So.
Yes. But the interesting part in that, actually, that specific example of how different we were, like, it was actually pretty sad for me to be so excited about a new house and something substantial, like, feel like progress in us, like, because we even kept our old house, so it was like some of our finance goals too. So to be alone in my excitement, because he was like pretty anxious. And I think before, like, we'd gotten far enough in the marriage and experienced kind of cycles like this, that like we got to the spot of like, I think one of us wanted the other to be wrong. And like, oh, you can feel that way and I can feel this way, and neither of us are wrong.
That's so good.
And actually not, and it's then I can express my loneliness of like, oh, I do feel bummed to be more excited and you not match me, but then I'm not gonna make you not be anxious or be mad, like talk you out of it.
You're not gonna make me wrong or punish me for feeling what I'm feeling. And I'm not, you know, there's, with the anxiety, there's a level of choosing into anxiety when you just choose to kind of perpetuate the mindset. But then there's also just the reality of this is uncomfortable for my personality type. But,
and not blaming me for getting us.
Yes, there. Which there was quite a bit of blame.
It's your fault you guys have this awesome new house, Jenna. I blame
it
you.
Is.
I also
it
made
is.
The money for this awesome new house, so it's totally terrible of me.
So it is. It did take us quite a while to stop blaming ourselves, blaming each other for what the other person was feeling. Yeah. So her anxiety when I wouldn't want to do something new, and then my anxiety when we would. And so learning to go, you can actually feel anxiety or pain or sadness, and it doesn't mean that I've actually done anything wrong or sinned. It just is. And that kind of paradigm has taken us a long time to arrive at.
Okay, so tell them how they arrived there.
Like, we actually have a little phrase, is like, you can connect with their sad and it doesn't mean you're bad. And it's taken literally years of us reminding ourselves that, like, in the middle of conflict. So like, for me, actually, in this instance, if he feels anxiousness and sad like over it, I go to, maybe this wasn't wisdom. Maybe this was me being impulsive. Was I wrong? Did I miss it? Am I the blame? I would blame myself. Like, he might blame outward, but I blame inward for his sadness. So then I would probably like maybe have tried to like get out of it or like backpedal or.
This is a common phrase in our marriage. When she would propose an idea, I'd feel anxious, but eventually I'd come around because I'm like, she's probably right. She's been right a lot about this new stuff. So
this whole new thing,
trying anything
of doing
some risks.
So I've seen enough. I've had enough evidence that this is actually a strength and not just something that's there to stress me out.
Yeah, it's not.
And so, but there's enough times where I go, no, okay, let's do it, and she goes, but we don't have to. Like, she has this running narrative, like, I'm going to railroad him and I'm going to overwhelm him.
Okay, let's just get vulnerable because you guys are already there. Give me a time where the new idea did not work out.
Gosh. So.
And how did you guys work through
that? Working at the airport.
Because that's a big one for people.
Yeah.
When you're trusting each other and it doesn't work out, and then some people will make the other one pay the price for their idea or their thing did not work out.
He is so gracious. That is one thing about Aaron. Sometimes I'd be like, be meaner to me. And it's like, you're mean enough to yourself. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Would you say the airport though?
Yeah, the airport was a good one because...
Okay, you have to explain what the airport is.
So I worked at the airport with Cole for a little bit, and you get to work in exchange for flight benefits. So it's just hourly rate, but you get to fly anywhere for free on standby. So standby is the big caveat. It does not sound as glamorous as you think, but I likened me working at a place that got limitless travel to an alcoholic working at a bar. It was like really hard to manage my self-control. So like, we should. So it was just interjected a ton of chaos. Even doing it really cheaply was more money than we could afford. It got us into debt. I made him the bad guy of having to say no to me rather than me managing myself and saying no to trips. And then you felt pretty lonely too, right?
Yeah, there was a lot of loneliness. I mean, for literal time of her being gone when she wouldn't have normally, there's a lot of loneliness in the, this is fun. There's a lot of fun stuff, but I'm freaking exhausted. And knowing that if she has another new idea, because this is always an option, I just have to constantly disappoint my wife. And so that was like feeling alone, and I have to be the anchor, because otherwise we're untethered. Yeah. And yeah, we're in orbit. Yeah. So that
then
was tough.
I quit after 8 months or so, and then just kind of self-imposed, like, oh, I need to tell myself no more. I need to not bring it to Aaron and like hash this out. I need to have my own, like, hey, it's actually not worth the cost. He's been great. And I get to like, some of the anxiousness that arises knowing that like us being so differently and him maybe opting out more, I'd be like, okay, just because it's not now doesn't mean not ever, versus the idea of he said it's a once in a lifetime or this deal won't come around, and be like, I'm actually.
It's almost never really once in a lifetime. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fear motivated too. Like the idea, like FOMO, like literally, you can laugh it off, but I was like, I'm actually motivated by missing moments by fear.
So, part of your question, like, how do we get ourselves to a place where I'm not going to be constantly blaming somebody else for that? It was a lot of individual work around realizing the things when I feel fear or I feel shame. For her, it's a lot of shame will come up for me, a lot of fear and sadness, whatever it is. A lot of those times when we start pointing it out, it's self-protection. Yeah. Like there's all self-protection mechanisms. And when we realize like, ooh, I'm self-protecting by using all these ways, like my fear and her shame. And when I take ownership for that, like it has to be a Jesus inner work that you do. Otherwise you can't do it, because marriage is like the laying down your life for your spouse kind of part. You can't really do that well without Jesus. So anyways, it's a lot of inner work of going, this is self-protection. Am I really in danger right now? Mm. Like everything about me feels like moving into this new house is danger. Like, what if we can't pay for the mortgage? What if this? What if this? What? All these different things.
Because you guys kept the old house too.
Yeah, and so that was part of it.
So it was a risk. It wasn't just sell the old house, use the equity, new house. You needed a renter.
It was an investment and a move.
Yeah.
Like, simultaneously,
and risk. Like, so there was, as you can see, a lot of anxiety for someone like me.
I can hear it in your voice when you say the word risk. I feel like when you say risk, there's a twitch somewhere on your body, whether we can see it or not.
It is the curse word, yeah.
I think, too, for me, at one point, so Aaron's really stable with our finances, and he's like a saver, and mine, being risk, like, prone to like, hey, looking at things as opportunities.
Yeah, yeah.
I am not as much a saver. I would be like, hey, let's try to invest in this. But that could also be unwise.
Totally.
So there'd be times that I feel like he was like Debbie Downer with our friend, like, no, I think this is a good opportunity, whatever. And I felt like one time the Lord was like, hey, you are grateful for his stability in a lot of areas, but then when it hinders you, you begrudge it. And realizing like that's just the opposite side of the coin. He's like, you can't be benefit from this strength and begrudge it when it stops you.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, because really, if you good. Take it all together. So this idea of like, I stopped seeing it as like inconvenience and started like, oh, that's actually in another, if I just change my perspective, it's a strength that I really appreciate and get a lot of benefit from, you know? Mm-hmm.
So. And then the same for me as well, just realizing how much life that I got that I wouldn't normally have stepped out into and experienced that. I began to, like, when she brings up an idea, I still feel the initial hint of anxiety, just go like, that sounds crazy. But I have learned to, one, not take on the responsibility for new ideas immediately, but just kind of, like, try to lean into her energy and get excited with her so that she's not alone in her joy.
Yeah, that's actually a really good way to say it, like, alone in joy, like, where you're the only one that's feeling the excitement. Like, can you expound on that just a little bit?
Yeah, it feels like almost like the hope of what could be for a family, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a beautiful thing. And like the idea of hope gets us places further, like it keeps us moving. So wanting to be with, like, feel a withness on those steps.
Because it is important to feel like you're going through something good
together.
Or bad together.
Yeah.
Like, because of, like, I don't have the best, like, emotional, I don't know what the right language is. I just don't cry much. I don't, like, feel stuff when, and sometimes Kate's like, I feel alone because you're not actually like, I feel like you should be hurting. I'm hurting. Why are you not hurting? I feel so alone in my feelings.
Yeah.
And learning how to balance that is really tough.
Yeah.
I think for us, one of the biggest things is, one, recognizing when I'm playing the victim in my marriage. And so, especially when we're so different, I will suddenly step into this role of a victim towards her new ideas, towards her risk ventures, towards anything around that. But when I recognize, like, oh, I am letting her being herself cause me to just like shut myself down and be sad and feel like I'm doing this to myself. This is really a narrative that I'm telling myself that she's the bad guy. And so when part of what we would suggest to couples and when we do premarital coaching and things like that, we're telling people like, hey, there's gonna be the story that you're telling yourself about the other person.
Yes.
And it's a narrative that is running through your whole marriage. So recognize the narrative. But then start, since you're already making stuff up, we're already here just like writing the story
and what he meant was, and when he did this.
Just the whole thing out.
Totally.
We got a bunch of novelists like that are writing Game of Thrones novels in,
about their marriage.
About their spouse, and she's the dragon.
About
I've never seen it, but I assume.
Yeah,
100%.
So it's recognizing you have a story and you're the one making it up. Since you're already making stuff up, what if you wrote something different about them?
He actually does this. This
is really good.
He gets triggered. He'll take time and actually write it out to himself.
So yeah, I'll write this out. Here's the facts of what Jenna did, and here's the story that I told myself about what that meant about me, what that means about her. And so as I've discovered, oh, this is the story, then I just start making other stuff up because I'm already like doing it. So, and this is the part I can invite the Lord in or invite other people's voices to help me rewrite that, especially when I'm like, I can literally see no other way that for her to have said this. Like she
with
meant,
she had to mean it this way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So
trying to cut me.
All the mind reading that I was doing in that moment, I need other people's voices to inject like, oh, what if she actually cares about you and wants the best for you? My wife, you know. So it's recognizing that, but then and rewriting a narrative, and part of that narrative that we've had to rewrite for in ourselves about the other person is these are strengths, even though at times I feel the strength of those gears kind of go in the opposite direction of my gears.
And I actually was gonna say, I wrote a list of the ways that I felt maybe hindered by his personality type. And then I actually elaborated, but what's another adjective? Like, so for instance, maybe risk adverse was steady. Like, so what's the positive?
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah,
so
go.
Like, it's the same like trait, but what's the positive?
Both sides of the coin.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So I just did that for a few things. So when I encounter the like if I start to be like, oh, he's so risk adverse, like actually that's his steadiness. And I'm actually really grateful for his steadiness. So I kind of like rewrite like, oh, what's the full picture of this strength I make or his trait?
Yeah. Cause whatever story you're telling yourself, you're going to look for evidence to support that story.
It's true.
And so anytime that the story says risk averse means like he's an anchor weighing down this fun that I want to have, she's going to find evidence for that. But when she flips it on the other side, steadiness, she's going to go
great,
like, oh, where does this actually benefit me? And I've done a ton of that with like, I feel anxiety. That's the story I'm telling myself. And I'm looking for all these ways that she's just caused me so much anxiety. And then when I flipped it to like, she has brought so much life to me and so much adventure. I'm now looking, when she, the other day, she bought me these super spicy peanuts that I don't necessarily like, but I know she was trying real hard. And so I've flipped the narrative around like, wow, she's working so hard to try to get me stuff that I really like.
Yeah.
And I realized that flip that just the other day about something specific like that, that was helpful because I had started to change the story that I was telling myself.
That is really good.
That's so good.
You guys just covered the last question I was going to ask.
That's perfect. Honestly, Aaron and Jenna are so brilliant. They have a podcast called The Marriage Lab. You can find them there. But will you tell them both how to find you? You guys have marriage coaching and resources for people who want to connect with
We
you.
Have a website, zensquad.com, where we kind of host a lot of different things. We do one-on-one coaching. We do couples coaching. And then Jenna has a habit mastery course.
I'm a habit coach.
She's a habit coach, but she teaches this course that teaches people how to get unstuck.
Caitlin's in the class now.
It helped me so much.
It's incredible. Mm-hmm. Like so many testimonies, so much fruit. Yeah.
And you wrote a book.
Oh, I also wrote a book. Yes, that's on Amazon.
Which
you guys sell. It's called Numb to Known, The Surprising Path Away from Porn. And has my whole story in there. And lots of stuff that I talked about.
You guys, we will be sure to link all of this goodness in our show notes, and you guys can find them there. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you guys for listening. If you want to learn more and check out all of our awesome content, be sure to head to our website at moralrevolution.com and our socials, Instagram, Facebook, all of them. But before you leave, don't forget to like, review, subscribe, all of the things. We want you guys to come back and join us. We enjoyed having you. See you next time.